In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. Today's assigned reading from the Gospel of Luke is not read that often on a Sunday, and it tells the story of how Jesus' birth was disrupted by a Roman census. But then, how the Roman census and empire, of course, was disrupted by Jesus, as is everything and everyone that comes into his fearsome and blessed orbit. But before we get into how Jesus took Caesar's census and turned it on its head, let's work up to it with a story of another famous census, which was disruptive, but on a more modest level. People in Britain know this story. In Great Britain, but not so many here. On the night before the Great British Census of April 1st, 1911, a woman named Emily Davison spent the night locked in a broom closet in Westminster Palace. Why would she do that? Because Davison was a leader in the campaign for the right of women to vote and be elected to office, which was illegal at the time. So what she did was she spent the night before the census in the broom closet so that when the census form came around, she could honestly write her address as House of Commons, Westminster Palace, and be counted as the first woman there. She was found out, and she was actually arrested for her stunt. But she had very publicly made her point and exposed by her tomfoolery how foolish mankind can be in our legalism, in our defending the status quo, and in preventing different groups of people from using their God-given gifts. Well, the Christmas census of today's reading also has this ironic feel once you understand what the biblical context is. First off, the mention of a census to Jewish readers of Luke's gospel would immediately bring to mind the other time a census is mentioned in Scripture. It's when King David ordered a census, and it was not at all well received by God. He and the people were severely punished for doing it. Why? Because the purpose of the census then and now has always been to count and consolidate your worldly power. How many people, how many potential soldiers, how much revenue base, how much political power. But God wanted David and his chosen not to rely on worldly power, but on God's power alone. So now back to the New Testament, when Jesus was about to be born. At that time, the Romans were the undisputed superpower of the world, and Caesar Augustus called a census to count and consolidate his power. And everyone's ordered to go back to the home of their father and father's ancestors to be counted. And so Joseph and Mary and Jesus went to Bethlehem, the city of David, because Joseph was descended through his father from David. And maybe you can already start to sense the clash of hidden powers and expectations that is about to occur between the king of the world and the kingdom of heaven. The Roman census is looking for tax revenue. Jesus was so poor that he was born in an animal feeding trough, and he seems to never have owned a thing in his life. The Roman census is counting young men to train them to kill. Jesus trains his followers how to be killed if necessary for love of God and love of others. The Roman census values its subjects' patrimony, the people and place where your father is from. Jesus values himself and all those who believe in him by where our heavenly Father is from, a place and home which is not of this world. So like Miss Davison making a mockery of the British census by hiding in a broom closet, Jesus makes a mockery of the Roman census while still hiding in his mother's womb. After just a few days on earth, His presence, 3 day old presence, would send Herod into a genocidal rage to keep him from growing up. The counting and consolidation of Rome, the superpower of its day, would in the end be thwarted by a baby, this weakest instrument that nonetheless will not be destroyed or controlled by the rulers of this world, not for one day. And all of this without speaking a word. So watch out when the man opens his mouth. And in two chapters later in Luke, Jesus does open his mouth for the first time publicly. He returns as an adult to Nazareth, the place where he ended up growing up. And the people there are expecting to hear from the son of Joseph, the guy who was counted and recorded in the Roman census. They do indeed hear from the son of Joseph, but his voice and his words seem like the Son of God. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus exclaims, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is when we learn for the first time that Jesus is no activist, striving merely for a fair world. Jesus has come to turn the world upside down and inside out. And the kingdom of men and its census of worldly power is served notice as the census of the heavenly kingdom is beginning to dawn. This kingdom census doesn't see as the world sees, according to outward appearances, but instead sees, like God, into very hearts of men. In the kingdom census, it is not the largest population or economy or armies that will eventually prevail, but it's the greatest faith, it's the greatest hope, and the greatest love that may be hidden in a broom closet, it may be hidden in a manger, it may be hidden behind poverty, it may be hidden behind tears or persecution, but Jesus comes to reveal all that is hidden, to expose the darkness of evil in the world and in our hearts by his redemptive light. And so let us then turn to him and turn away from all the world counts as glory, power, and success, because we know that God has a different way of counting. And since the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, he has worked through the hidden and the humble and the disenfranchised to challenge the superpowers of this world and prepare the way for his heavenly kingdom. This is the census that we must count on and be counted by till God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, now and always, and unto the ages of ages.